Speaking of radio, the Jack Benny program.
Canada Dry, the champagne of ginger ales, presents a series of programs to advertise the new made-to-order Canada Dry, which you can now buy by the glass at drugstores and soda fountains. This series will feature George Olson and his music, Miss Ethel Chute, the star of many Broadway successes, and that suave comedian, dry humorist, and famous master of ceremonies, Jack Benny.
Thank you, Mr. Thorgerson. That's pretty good from a man who doesn't even know me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack Benny talking and making my first appearance on the air professionally. By that I mean I'm finally getting paid, which of course will be a great relief to my creditors. I really don't know why I'm here. I'm supposed to be a sort of a master of ceremonies and tell you all the things that will happen, which would happen anyway. I must introduce the different artists who could easily introduce themselves and also talk about the Canada Dry made to order by the glass, which is a waste of time, as you know all about it. You drink it, like it, and don't want to hear about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, a master of ceremonies is really a fellow who is unemployed and gets paid for it. I think you will like the entertainment arranged for tonight, I hope. Of course, I haven't seen any of the program myself, but I've spoken to the artists individually. They seem to think it's awfully good.
Well, you were on the Ed Sullivan Show back in 32.
Right.
And then that was in March, and then later that year, in May, you started your own program.
In May, I started my own program. And I got it through the Ed Sullivan Show.
The sponsor?
The Canada Dry Ginger Ale. They heard me on the Ed Sullivan Show, and as soon as that show was over, they called me and made me an offer.
And you've had a sponsor on radio and TV ever since?
Ever since.
Right. What did you do on that Ed Sullivan Show?
What happened was, I was in New York, and Ed said, "Jack, why don't you come on my show?" He did a sports show or something. Mm-hmm. I said, "What'll we do?" He said, "What'll we do?" He said, "Oh, let you and I sit down. We'll write something." So I forget what it was, a couple of questions. He was doing a sports thing. So we sat down, and there wasn't much to the show except little talk, but evidently the agency for Canada Dry Ginger Ale perhaps liked my speaking voice, because that's all he could go by.
Right.
And they made me the offer right away.
And that was for...
That was 39 weeks, I think, with Canada Dry Ginger Ale. I think it was. Or I don't know how many weeks it was. But what they didn't want... See, I insisted on doing comedy commercials. Hmm. Otherwise, I didn't want to do radio, television, nothing. So, they were afraid of the comedy commercials. We had some very funny ones. And finally, they wanted me eventually to do, even though they had a lot of marvelous letters telling them how good the commercials were, because they'd never heard commercials funny like that, they still didn't like the idea. So then they wanted me to do straight commercials, and I said, "I don't want it." And they even wanted me to do it, you know. It was something like that. And so then I could see we were going to have a little problem. So I said to my manager, "Let's look for something else, because I don't think they're going to keep me if I stop."
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with "Everything Is Rhythm in My Heart" from First in Girl. is rolling off a log. That's an expression we all use, but I know an even better way to describe something easy, and here it is. Easy as making Jell-O. Because Jell-O really is amazingly simple to prepare, and whenever you make Jell-O, you're making a dessert that's certain to please everyone. For Jell-O's famous true fruit flavor always gets a great reception. But just remember that you can find that grand extra-rich fruit flavor only in genuine Jell-O. All six delicious flavors are extra-rich, and they come from fresh, ripe fruit. Easy to make, easy to take. That's Jell-O, the most popular gelatin dessert in the entire world today. That's Jell-O, too. So don't accept any substitute. Be sure you get the real thing. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. We bring you our radiant master of ceremonies with warmth in his heart and a cold in his head, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny speaking to you through a Kleenex. So don't get too close to your radios, folks. You know how these colds spread.
Where did you get that cold, Jack?
Down at the racetrack. You know, I went out to Santa Anita yesterday.
Well, why didn't you wear an overcoat?
I did, Don. I wore one on the way out. The bookmaker wore it home.
Usually do, don't they?
I tell you one thing, Don. I'm through with horses. That fourth race yesterday cured me.
Well, that's all what happened.
Well, Don, I didn't mind when my horse stopped in the middle of the race and quit cold. But when he came over to the rail and asked me if I heard Fred Allen Wednesday night, that was going a little too far.
When we started for Jell-O, the Jell-O commercials saved Jell-O because Jell-O was going out of business almost on account of Knox Gelatin was beating Jell-O, beating the hell out of him. And so they wanted the comedy commercials, figuring that that could be the one thing that would save it. And by golly, it did.
It did it. How long were you on for Jell-O?
Oh, for a long time. General Flew Jell-O, and then when they had enough of that, we went on. We stayed with them for Grape Nuts Flakes and Grape Nuts and all this and that.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston.
No, Don, hold it. For heaven's sake, remember our new product.
Oh, yes. The Grape Nuts Flakes program.
Grape Nuts Flakes, great.
The Grape Nuts Flakes program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis A. Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson, coming to you from the Army Air Base at Santa Ana, California. Hey, friends, did this ever happen to you? You dash out of bed, stub your toe on the alarm clock, nick your face while you're shaving, get the shirt missing a button, clump downstairs wearing your before-breakfast blitzkrieg look, and right there on the table sits a great big tempting bowl full of Grape Nuts Flakes. And what happens now? Well, you sample that outstanding Grape Nuts Flakes flavor. It's your same favorite Grape Nuts flavor in toasty brown flake form, malty, rich, and sweet as a nut. So you look at your wife and you actually beam. For there's plenty of satisfaction in that grand goodness, the flavor that's made Grape Nuts Flakes America's fastest growing cereal. That's because Grape Nuts Flakes are made in a different way. They're a blend of two luscious grains, sun-ripened wheat and malted barley, toasted golden brown and crisp and delicate tempting flakes. So for smooth-tasting, smooth-tempered breakfast that baby your budget, ask for delicious, thrifty Grape Nuts Flakes in the big 12-ounce package. Played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Since we're at the Army Air Base at Santa Ana, we would like to reenact the scene which took place last Thursday when two cadets from this very field paid a visit to Jack Benny at his home in Beverly Hills.
Oh, Don, who wants to hear about that?
Jack and Rochester were hard at work in the kitchen, as I understand it, little suspecting that anyone would drop in.
Oh, boy, that sure smells good. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding. See, what else? Tomatoes, vinegar, onions. Oh, Rochester, did you cut up those onions like I told you to? Rochester, did you cut up those onions?
I'm cutting them up now, boss.
Oh, pull yourself together. How many onions you got there?
About five, boss. Do you want any more?
Yes, get busy. And stop crying.
I can't help it, boss.
Look, Rochester, if the onions make you cry while you're chopping them up, don't stand so close to them.
Close to them? I'm using a hoe now.
All right, I'll do the onions. And you get these jars ready. Have you got the labels?
Here they are. Mother Benny's old-fashioned homemade chili sauce.
Hey, they're pretty fancy, aren't they?
Yeah, and I like our new slogan. Our chili is hot on rump roast or pot.
Yeah, that ought to get us plenty of customers. Well, I might as well finish these onions myself.
Mmm, this sauce don't look just right. You know, boss, I don't think we got enough tomatoes in here. I said I don't think we got enough tomatoes in here. Shall I put some more tomatoes in, Mr. Benny?
There's plenty of tomatoes in there. All the rest will be called for. Well, the onions are ready. Dump them in, Rochester.
Okay.
And then I went with Lucky Strike. I think Lucky Strike made me a bigger, better deal, whatever it was. So I went with Lucky Strike. And what happened was, the last year that I was with General Foods, so I had a few shows that weren't as hot. But I still had a lot of great shows.
So this was in the middle 40s?
It was, something.
The so-called famous Jack Benny slump, that you moved from number one to number seven.
Or something like that, or something.
Right?
Or something. Or they thought, so they practically said to me, watch it a little bit, because some of the shows, as though every show had to be perfect, you know. See, I spoiled them. So the minute they said that, I went to my, and then they went back to New York. Now, they didn't have an option. The thing was over. But they did want to give me a new contract. But the way they said to me, just watch a little bit, I got mad. So I said to my manager, I said, let's get another sponsor. I don't want to be with them. And we wired them on the train as they were going back that we will not be with them anymore. Because right away I had like four or five big offers from Lucky Strike, from everybody. And we grabbed Lucky Strike immediately.
The Jack Benny Program. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. LSMFT. LSMFT. LSMFT.
Yes, sir.
You said it.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Year after
yes,
year.
Today, tomorrow, always, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Year after year, at auction after auction, independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
This fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
At 50, American.
G,
Just sit there, Benny, and keep your trap shut.
Yeah, one false move and we'll slug you.
But, fellas, please, untie me. My program is on. I should be there. I'll lose my job if I miss my first broadcast.
You're going to miss them all, Benny.
What?
You ain't going to drive us nuts anymore. For 15 years, we've been listening to that, "Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking." Well, we've had enough of it, see?
Yeah, let's bump them off. No, 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 no. Please don't kill me. I don't want to die. Spare my life. I'll make it worth your while. I'll give you each $10. Please, fellas, don't kill me.
Go ahead, Joe. Let him have it.
Wait a minute. We ain't had no fun. Let's torture him first.
Okay. I'll burn him with my cigarette.
No. Don't burn me. What kind of a cigarette is that?
A lucky strike.
Okay, burn me. Burn me where it'll show. After all, lucky strikes are made of the light. That night, that fine, that naturally mild light. Let go of my tongue. What's the matter with you guys, anyway?
All right, Joe, we've stalled long enough. Lift him out of the chair and lay him on a table.
Okay, but I want to do a neat job on this guy. Hand me my rubber gloves. Here.
No, fellas, don't kill me. Don't. I'll make it $11. I mean it.
Ready. Knife. Axe. Poison. Rope. Knife.
You got that already.
Thanks.
Please, fellas.
Gun. Bullet.
Atomic bomb.
What?
Give it to him.
Wake up! Ah! Boss, wake up! Ah! Huh? What? Oh. Oh, it's you, Rochester.
Yeah.
See what a nightmare I just had. I was with two fellas, two of them. What a horrible dream.
Did you get stuck with the check again?
No. Nothing like that. I dreamt I was held captive by a couple of thugs. They're going to keep me from going back on the air. It was terrible.
It must have been, boss. You look pale. Sick. Let me see your tongue. Fingerprints.
That's funny. There shouldn't be. You wore rubber gloves.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing. You weren't there.
Doggone, boss. That sure must have been a realistic dream. Look how you thrashed around in the bed.
Yeah.
You even pulled an arm off your teddy bear.
Darn it. I've had it ever since I was 30. What a nightmare. Seems like I always dream like that before an opening broadcast.
And now, folks, another actor whose appearance on this program, whose appearances, rather, on this program are always greeted with laughter. Because he's won.
Bud. Bud.
Who, me?
Yeah. Come here a minute.
What do you want?
What actor are you going to introduce now?
Frank Nelson.
Uh-uh.
What?
Introduce Sheldon Leonard.
Well, why should I introduce Sheldon Leonard now?
Because that's me, and I just laid 6-5, I'd come in ahead of Nelson.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who plays the part of our tout, Sheldon Leonard.
I was the tout, yes, but not the racetrack tout, because I never operated at the racetrack.
But you never were at the racetrack?
No.
You're always outside of the track.
I was touting him at something else. I'd meet him in a department store and tout him off of one elevator and onto another elevator. I'd meet him at a candy dispensing machine and tout him away from chewing gum to chocolate drops or what have you, completely absurd things. But it was never from one horse to another horse. One show, I believe, I did meet him at the racetrack. But what I touted him on one table instead of another table because the legs on this table were stronger than the legs on the other table. A lot of nonsense.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, the last race was a photo finish, but you won't know the results till tomorrow.
See, that's strange.
The picture turned out so good that we've decided to show it at your neighborhood theater.
Now, Mary, let's look over the list of entries for the next race.
I want to see if the...
Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Me?
Yeah.
What is it?
You gonna eat here?
Yeah.
What table?
Table one.
Uh-uh.
What?
Take number nine.
Well, look, I'm very happy with table one.
Well, think it over, Bud. Number one is a card table.
A card table?
Yeah. If it carries too much weight, its legs will fold.
Gee, I never thought of that. So you think I ought to take table number nine?
Well, certainly. Look at the breeding.
The breeding?
It's by Bird's Eye Maple out of Grand Rapids.
Gosh, I didn't think they even knew each other.
Get wise, Bud. Think it over.
Look, I'm not... Wait a minute. This is the first time I've run into you at a racetrack. Why don't you give me a tip on a horse?
Who knows about horses?
What?
So long, sucker.
Mary, have you figured out yet what
You're
horse...
You're making eggs already. I put them on table number one.
Number one, do you think I'm a sucker? We'll eat at table number nine.
Table nine? The shiny mahogany one?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but you can't eat at that table.
Why not?
It was scratched.
Now, cut that out!
But Jack loved it, and he would break up whenever we did the spot. He would... He had great difficulty keeping a straight face, and he was probably the most... supportive straight man that ever worked in the business. He, his great desire was not to score himself, but to see you score.
Mm-hmm.
To help you get the most out of your material. He was a precious man.
Gee, I might get hungry on the plane. Maybe I ought to buy some fruit or something. Say, these apples look good. Yeah, I'll get some of these apples. Oh, miss! Oh, darn it, she's busy. Well, I'll just have to wait.
Hey, Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Look, fella, I...
What are you doing?
I'm buying some fruit.
What kind?
I'm buying apples.
Uh-uh.
What?
Take the oranges.
But I don't want oranges. How about grapes?
Haven't got a chance. They're carrying too many seeds.
Oh, well, what about the bananas?
I've been watching them for 3 days. I have yet to see one of them get out of the bunch.
Well, look, I don't know.
Listen to me, Bud. Take the oranges.
The oranges?
They can't miss. Look at the breeding. Out of Pomona by Smudge Pie.
Well, I wanted apples, but... I wanted apples, but maybe you're right. I'll take the oranges.
Okay, and peel them. Don't be a sucker.
When I was working with Jack on his radio show first and then later making guest appearances from the television show, I was already becoming quite active in television. And Jack, one day, lunch at the Brown Derby during the rehearsal break on a Sunday, said, "Hey, Shell, I've got an idea that make a good television show." And he told me an idea that would indeed make a good mm-hmm. television show. And I said, "Yeah, that'd be fine, Jack. That'd be real good. Why don't you pitch it at the networks?" He said, "No, that's not my line of work." I said, "Well," he said, "it's yours. Take it. I give it to you." I said, "No, thanks. I'm not interested in it unless you come with it as at least an advisor, at least a friend of the court or whatever. And besides, if we had to submit it, I would want you to be the one who submitted it. It's your idea. So an appointment was made. And we went to the office of a network that shall be unnamed. And were ushered into the private office of the head of development for comedy material. And there was his entourage that assembled in the office. And after the amenities, the coffee and the rest, you know, Jack said, go ahead, Cheryl, tell him the story. And I said, no, Jack, it's yours. You tell him. So he told him the idea, which was a good one. It was not unlike the concept that later became Laverne and Shirley, but it was more mature and had greater possibilities and greater scope. And the locale was to be one of these swinging single setups out, like mm-hmm. occur out here at the marina, you know. Great possibilities inherent in it. And after about 10 minutes of eloquent Jack Benny delivery on the material, he finished and we sat back and we watched with satisfaction. And there was the exchange of glances amongst the people in the room, and then the head of development cleared his throat and said, he, by the way, was about age, I estimate, age 28, 29, something like that. And he said, and I remember his words almost verbatim, not almost, I remember them just as he said them. He said, well, Jack, I think there's some good material there. I don't think it works the way you got it, but I can tell you how to fix it. And Jack said, I'd love to hear you tell me how to fix it, but I've got an appointment with my dentist that I've been looking forward to for weeks, so if you'll excuse me.
And he left. Guys, I still haven't gotten anything from my sister Florence. Say, that's the lingerie department. Maybe I can find something there. Let's see, maybe she'd like this beautiful pair of silk pajamas. Yeah, that's what I'll get. Pajamas.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Who, me?
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm buying a gift for my sister.
What are you going to get?
Pajamas.
Uh-uh.
What?
Get her a nightgown.
A nightgown? Why?
Nightgown is a sleeper.
Well, so are pajamas.
I know, but with pajamas, when they're off, the legs will fold.
Gee, I never thought of that.
When you make your selections, you gotta consider the string.
The pajama string?
Yeah. It's all right while it's going around the back stretch, but when it comes out in front, it ties up in a knot.
Gee, maybe you're right.
Of course I'm right. Nightgown is a great show bet.
I see what you mean. Well, so long.
So long, Bud.